Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Arnie Lukes here at the Crossroads, and I'd like to welcome Eve Potbay from Canada. Welcome, Eve.
Hello.
No worries. How did your Christmas break go?
It went fine. We had a green Christmas.
Okay. A green, not a white Christmas.
Just like you.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful.
We
Beautiful.
had some snow after, but wasn't
Yeah.
that much snow.
No worries. I saw, I've got some friends on the West Coast, and they sent me through some temperature forecasts for the next week. Minus 38, minus 32, minus 30. There's quite a blizzard going on the west side of
Yeah,
west coast of Canada.
it's all over the place in Canada. We had from 10 above to down to 60 below.
Wow, that's incredible. Such a range. And we've had last week was we had a few warm days, 40 degrees. Today's mid 30s. Rest of the week is just high 20s, so it's the weather's comfortable for summer. It appears as if we're coming out of the woods with these fires. Certainly not unprecedented. Australia has fires, and especially if we don't manage the national parks, the fuel load. If we don't do the cold weather burns, then of course the fuel load is up, and it's impossible to manage the fires. So it's our own doing. It's our own fault. It's actually management of the policy. And the Royal Commissions have recommended that we do these things and we don't adhere to the Royal Commission. So again, it's our own fault. Our administrators of the policy are found wanting. And another thing that I find fascinating is that in Port, now let me think, it's Kangaroo Island. The mayor of Kangaroo Island was saying that of all the people, the volunteers who are out there fighting the fires, they find that the environmentalists are never participating in this. They're actually missing in action. Those that are advocating all these green policies are actually missing in action, and they're not actually doing their duty when it calls for them to do it. They'll demonstrate, they'll complain, they'll do this and do that in hissy fits, but when it comes to doing their duty, standing there facing down the fire and fighting it as a good soldier would, they're missing in action. So I think that to me shows the caliber. It's just found wanting, and it's okay, all right. Now, Eve, the subject for today, and I think it's a good subject, atheistic communism versus Douglas social credit. I want to actually cut across to an encyclical, 1937. I've got the booklet here. Pope Pius the 11th, Divini Redemptoris, 1937, Atheistic Communism. And I think it's a very important encyclical because what it does is it clarifies that there can't be a syntheticism, there can't be syncretism with Christianity or Douglas social credit. You can't bring them together. They are antagonistic to each other. Communism is atheistic. Communism is materialistic. It's actually dialectical materialism. And the expression of dialectical materialism can be found in both Marx and also in liberal democracy, in libertarianism or laissez-faire. It can be found in both these camps. And I found that very interesting. I spent the break reading about liberal democracy, libertarianism, and laissez-faire, and I found that it was exactly the same philosophy, that essentially it's a free-for-all, not a freedom for all, but a free-for-all. It's dog eat dog and the dominance hierarchy, which of course is this what's being promoted by this Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson. Certainly not Christian, certainly not conducive to building up a strong culture. And if you like, to me, it falls into the category of atheistic communism. And Douglas social credit, of course, is founded on Christianity, not deliberately, but it found that when it was looking at the natural law and how things worked best, it was actually aligned with the Christian philosophy. Your thoughts, Eve?
Well, I from what I know in social credit was discovered in 1917, 18. In those 2 years, Douglas thought about it in 1917, and put it on paper in 1918. And then from then on, it was the same year, 1917, the Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima and told the three children that this is what's going to happen in the future. This is the, so you better get ready. And there was all kinds of things that happened in those days. 70,000 people saw the miracle of the sun. Some of them even remembered a few years ago, they had some witnesses. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember I was there and all that. So, but it's hard to explain, of course, for some people. But that year, why Clifford U. Douglas, the Holy Spirit enlightened them and said, "Then you've got to write this. You've got to put this down on paper." So from then on, it was a discovery that was to build history, and this is a big part of history. Without social credit, Douglas's social credit doctrine, Christianity will not survive. Christianity will not survive. And I keep writing to clergy people, different people that I know. If we do not apply Douglas's social credit doctrine, Christianity will not survive. So it's no wonder that we have this thing that the elites have put together. People like Bill Gates, George Soros, all these elites have put together a thing called Agenda 2030. That's 10 years from now. So there's going to be a lot of things that have to be done. Each country has to belong to this. They have to put input into the agenda according to the rules that they've built, which is, when you look at it, it's pure atheistic communism.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is. Yeah, the it's interesting because on our website, we've actually got links to the documents that are very important in this Agenda 2030, which was preceded by Agenda 21, which was preceded by the documents from the Club of Rome. Now, the Club of Rome about 50 years ago was writing about that climate and CO2 were the necessary tools in which to bring about world government. And the expression or the outworking of that, you've got to place it into context. The United Nations is a communist tool. The United Nations, one of the founders, Alger Hiss, was deeply immersed within the American administration. And Alger Hiss was a communist agent. And of course, you've got the story of Senator Joe McCarthy and his declaring that there were Reds under the bed, that there were communists everywhere. And a lot of individuals fled America from the media and from the administration. And they also took what they call, I think it's the Fifth Amendment, where self-incrimination, they took that, so they refused to actually testify because it would have incriminated themselves. So communism was deeply immersed within the American administration, but the outworking of that was the establishment of the United Nations. Now I'm going to touch on I'm going to cut across here, Eve, I'll just lose your audio for a sec.
Okay.
I'm going to cut across here to the ALOR Library. Under the name of Ferguson, Archbishop Ferguson, I put it up, a letter, here it is here. And also declarations and that, where is it? Club of Rome. It could be under, oh, there it is, Club of Rome. The First Global Revolution and the Climate Emergency Plan. These are the documents here. I think it's very important that we actually use the resources, the research that's already been done, because the Club of Rome has declared all these things. They have laid it out 50 years ago in their documents. But I mean, you can look at the World Revolution, Karl Marx, the Communist Manifesto, the implementation of those policies. You can look at the history of that and recognize that this is a long-term strategy. It is atheistic. It is communism. It is totalitarian on a world scale. And the fact is that it is Douglas who reconciled capital and labor. Instead of them being in conflict, dialectic, he reconciled them under tension and placed the seat of power at the feet of the individual in the national dividend and the consumer price discount. He placed that power there. Decentralized power, which of course is the antithesis of communism, centralizing power, totalitarianism. It is the antithesis. And so you've got to consider that the Christian response to communism is the individual. It's actually placing power at the feet of the individual. And so Douglas and Christianity are consistent, but it is Douglas' social credit. And I find it intriguing that Chinese communism is using their system and using it called social credit to be a technocracy. They're actually attempting to subvert even the name of Douglas social credit. Eve.
Now, even when you look at capitalism, you're looking at socialism, all these words have been vitiated, so it's no wonder they would do something with social credit, trying to dirty the word. But you know, when I think about the United Nations has never been a nice thing in my eye. But you know what? They look good right now. They look good in the news. They look good in the universities. The kids have bought into it, have bought into the United Nations because they want to save the planet. They want to eliminate, they want to cure the environment. And when it's them that created this terrible environment, now they're brainwashing our kids to say this is, so they look good at the front of these kids, so this is our future. So when they use social credit, and you know, social credit is not only in China, it's in all the countries pretty well.
That's right.
So they're gonna put like a point system or something like that, which is again the communism, and so it'll be hard to deal with Douglas's social credit. But you know what? We should keep a firm foot on the meaning of Douglas's social credit, not communistic social credit or whatever you want to call the other words. It's something that we'll have to work on. But I'm always going to defend the word social, Douglas's social credit. Now I'm starting to mention Douglas's social credit pretty well all the time, because people know a little bit more about the Chinese, the and so on and so forth. So the United Nations, I have no trust in my eyes, because the first time I saw the United Nations is about 30 years ago. Something that the United Nations did is between Canada and the United States. For example, the Peace Bridge. They put three flags. On Canada's side, they put the Canadian flag, on the United States, right beside each other. On the American side, they put the American flag, and on top of the two, higher than the two, is the United Nations with all the stars, representing all the countries. So at that time, so I was really upset. You know, they do all kinds of stuff like that all over the world to upset the world. But then since the United Nations looks good now, we're going to have a hard time to explain what their actual plan is. That's going to be a tough thing.
Well, it's interesting because that that article by Archbishop Ferguson that I've placed on our web, what it does is it actually shows the, it was written, I think, about mid-1980s, but it goes back to the 30s and that, the deconstruction of Britain as a world power, the placing Britain into the European Union, and then, of course, subverting other free countries through the United Nations and world government. And that's the Archbishop saying it. Now, the Pope's encyclical that we've made reference to already this morning, these are very important documents, because what they do is they actually deconstruct the narrative. Now, the Chinese technocracy, if you like, the technocrat, the elite communist who actually oversees and assesses and measures the conformity of all, each and every Chinese person, all 1,000 or 1,500,000 of them. I mean, that is communism, that's totalitarianism. Whereas the Christian view is one of where the seat of power is placed at the feet of the individual, that the purpose of government, the purpose of law, the purpose of institutions, the purpose of the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And those are the words of Christ, very profound words. And we've actually got to come back to these guiding principles, because they will assist us in orientating our thinking. And I think it's most important. That's why the reading of these documents is very important, because you take it in your leisure time, and you start to reconstruct the narrative in your mind, and you look at it and you say, well, how does it actually work out? How does communism work out when it's actually placed into a position of, actually, this is an expression of communism? How did the Soviet Union work out? How many people were liquidated? How did the communist China work out? How did Cambodia, the Pol Pot? How does South Africa? How does Zimbabwe, former Rhodesia? These are communist countries. How did they work out? How is Venezuela working out today? These are all communist countries. And you see, the expression of it is one of totalitarianism, of destitution, of poverty, of starvation, of actually starving the people into submission. This is what's going on in Venezuela. The history of the Soviet Union and the Ukraine, up to 10 million in the Ukraine were starved to death under Stalin. This is a tool. They use terrorism to control the population, and yet they call any dissenter a terrorist. And so this is the play on words. They twist words. They cause cognitive dissonance in your mind that who is the terrorist, when in actual fact the government, the totalitarians in charge, are the terrorists. And this is something to be very mindful of. So when we look at the United Nations and we look at the seeds of the birth of that organization, we realize that communists were through and through in its establishment, and it is an expression of communism, of totalitarianism. So atheistic communism coming out of the United Nations is expected. Why are we surprised? The think tanks, the Club of Rome and things like that, the Trilateral Commission, the Council for Foreign Relations, these are all totalitarian organizations. And so why do we expect anything different than communism to come from them? Whereas Christianity, or Douglas Social Credit, places the seat of power at the feet of the individual. Eve.
Yeah, the elites apparently are going to give us social credit, and they're going to give us the wrong kind of social credit. I am reading books right now. I've read them before, but I love to read them. They're booklets by Don Gobi wrote. He got messages in a locutions model. It was a kind of locution. The Virgin Mary talks to the priest through him, and so she forms a Marian movement of priests. So she explains through the books. I'm going through a lot of 1970s. I'm going to start 80s probably next week. And she's talking about the priests that have left the movement, or they've ignored the movement. And so maybe the lay people have to take over, kind of thing, and get involved in it. But the one thing that she mentions in the latter days, the most important piece of information, is the establishment of Freemasonry in the clergy. And when you look at that, you look at, for example, Freemasonry, the 17th degree. I have nothing to do with Freemasons. But I studied a lot of it. And in the 17th degree, the members of the Freemason itself, when he does his ritual or whatever, he learns one word. When he's initiated in the 17th degree, he hears or he's told a particular word. And that word is Abaddon. So, of course, I looked at it, Abaddon, and somebody told me one time, I told him it was the devil. He said, no, it's not the devil. You're a liar. It doesn't mean devil. It means destroyer. I says, I rest my case right there. So Freemasonry has been eating at the church for many, many, many years, a century maybe two. And they've been wanting to be the destroyer of the church. Mm-hmm. They need it out of the way to achieve their goal of a communist, atheistic communism, one world government. And I cannot stress enough how dangerous that is, because it's been predicted the church is going to go through a terrible time, okay? But it a purification, they call it. Mm-hmm. So they've got to go through it. It's going to go through it. So we've got to get it's going to be fixed. Apparently the Immaculate Conception is going to triumph over Satan. And this is going to happen for sure. But before we do, we have to go through this apostasy of our church. Mm. And this is what the scary part. Because I'm a Catholic, I believe in Catholicism, obviously. I'm a little bit traditionalist, not much. I'm not very traditionalist, but I'm a little bit traditionalist. But the one thing I'm scared of is to be a coward in the end. Yeah. So I pray that I will stay strong and never deny Jesus Christ himself. Uh-huh. So this is basically what every Christian is going to go through. Uh-huh. And this is the part that scares me, because I got family, you've got kids, you've got, and all this is going to go through. So a lot of them are going to be falling, of course, but possibly a lot of them will come out of it victorious. Mm. This is what I believe.
Yeah. What I found with my, and I think I mentioned it off screen earlier on, was that the trials and tribulations that I've experienced in my life have actually steadied my resolve. They've actually strengthened me. And if you like, a certain degree of suffering has matured me. And the more I look at this question about Christianity, the more I recognize and realize that it is a profound opportunity to place your faith in the forefront. It's a profound opportunity. We are here at this time. We are here as an opportunity to actually express our Christian faith. Now, you think about the early Christians when they were being put to death, fed to the lions or whatever, and in the million. You know, perhaps a million Christians were put to death this way, but they refused to yield. And in the end, Caesar was overcome. So we have a history of our people of faith persevering right through to the end. And this to me is no different than today. Yes, the situation is formidable. But the fact is that Jesus tells us that if these things are nothing in comparison to what we have the capacity to do, the things that he did, the mountain will be moved and cast into the sea if our faith is strong enough. So I see it as a huge opportunity to exercise your faith, to place it into the real world, to actually be real about your Christian faith, and not just as a token gesture, but to be real about it, to be serious about it. This is a huge opportunity for Christian folk. And you think, oh, it's a time of tribulation. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's some are concerned that it's Armageddon, that it's the end of the world. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But the fact is, the problems of the world today are not so insurmountable that they can't be overcome. The seeds of truth are within the Christian faith. They are within the words of Christ. We've just got to take our faith seriously. And we can actually resolve the issues of our day. We can resolve it. And that, to me, is the most wonderful thing, that the truth is there to set us free. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So we've got to seek the kingdom of God. We've got to seek his truth. And that's why when you look at the encyclical, atheistic communism, materialism, dialectical materialism, it's there before us, and it is not Christian at all. And so it doesn't matter who advocates it. It is anti-Christian, and it's up to us to find out and pronounce what is Christian. What is it? In my view, Douglas Social Credit is an outworking of the philosophy of Christianity. It is the policy. Yes. And that, to me, is what is before us all. In our study, we look at it and we say, well, what the dickens are you talking about? And I put it to you, if someone said, well, think about the natural laws of the universe, the canon, the natural laws of the universe, the things that actually, when they find expression and are placed in the forefront, we find that there's actually an increment of association, an increment in our efforts. A sailor, when he's sailing, he's heading into the wind, he's got the sails trimmed, the sails are full, the boat is on the correct tilt, it's actually in the groove. That's harnessing the natural laws of the universe, and it's no different in community, it's no different in society, it's no different how people get on. That's what social credit is about. It's how people get on. Can they actually achieve the things that they want to? And the answer is yes. But we've got to look to the natural law, to the canon, to the natural laws of the universe. Eve.
Yeah, I like that. It's something that should be more than practiced. It should be put in practice. Uh-huh. I remember very well the beginning of the Bible, and Genesis. I never remember the number. Genesis 1 something. But anyway, I will put enmity between you and the woman, the woman clothed with the sun. So now, when you go back 2,000 years later or so, you find that Mary is at the head of her army, and we're going to need her help for sure to keep going in this fight. So that's why our movement has for the triumph of the Immaculate. So this is our goal, and we're pushing for this particular goal because Jesus has made her the victorious one, because Satan did not like to be overtaken by a woman. That's another part of the story also. But that by a human, she's a human just like Jesus is. She was taken into heaven with her body and everything else. It's hard to understand, I know, but it's something that we really believe at the Michael Journal, the triumph of the Immaculate. And this is why we are consecrated as pilgrims of St. Michael to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to Jesus Christ, to God himself, really. And we're going to win that fight, but it's just how many soldiers can we take with us? Can we have with us saved the way that it should be done. So I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's a little bit of a mystery to do it that way. But when you look into the history of the Bible, and you did look at it, we believe in that story, and the Catholic Church has always promoted that story, the story of the world. And in the last three eras, which I call eras, the eras, the 6th century, the 666 was established. 13th century, the Protestant Church was established. And 1998 was the date where the establishment of Freemasonry in the clergy has taken over the church and is trying to destroy it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to use Abaddon to destroy our church. So we have to be aware of I mean, in the future is not mine. It's not for us, I think, to say we're going to do this because the future, it's the present, yes, but we have to have some kind of a weapon, and the weapon has to be used because it is a spiritual war as well as a physical war.
Yeah.
Both ways have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing out there because people only want one thing, money. Mm. Whether you translate that into goods, you know, the wealth, whatever, they're only interested, it seems, into selfishness. So it's hard to deal with, but I think that the way we're doing it helps in the world by spreading the you know, the social credit doctrine, which is applied Christianity. Basically, yeah. That's the whole story.
Yeah, yeah. No, beautifully put, Eve. I know that the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that it is actually men's minds. This is the battleground. Even that, was it Sun Yat-Zu, The Art of War? He was talking about propaganda and the power of deception. And this is no different. This is no different that what people think. So atheistic communism, United Nations, Club of Rome, it's actually got to the point, using the tool climate emergency or climate change or Agenda 2030, it's all the same thing, is after the minds of men, and men and women, of course. And this is the battleground, and this is where we need to assist people so that they might be set free to see the real world, to place it into context. If you go out, even in Australia, yes, we've just had a series of bushfires around Australia. Yes, we do. We did. In 1984, I was holding my eldest son. He was a toddler. And we watched the hills around our city burn. I saw a petrol station go up. And yes, it was a significant event. I drove through that area. But after a couple of years, the growth, the regrowth was prolific. The restoration of order. And droughts and flooding rains, Dorothy McKellar, her famous sewing poem, My Country. This is Australia. This is where we live in. And you're now experiencing some particularly cold weather. This is your country, western coast of Canada, minus 40s, minus 60s. This is the world we live in. We adapt to it.
Yeah.
The area of battle that we're fighting with atheistic communism is the minds of men. And it's this area that people, men, mankind, needs to be set free. And that's why study, that's why taking time to read, to contemplate, to think, is to me an opportunity to set your mind free. I think the Bible teaches about renewing of your mind, and I think that's a daily occurrence. You actually have to feed your mind. It's like your garden. You've got to continue to nurture it and feed it and water it, and then the fruit will come. The fruit will come. Eve, we're 33, 34 minutes into this. I'm going to call for closing comments, this first forum for 2020.
Okay, I'd like to just mention one thing as a closing comment is we talk about climate change, which is a word that I shiver every time I hear it. But what we need to have is a financial climate change. Change the climate of this terrible slavery that we're in. That's the climate that we have to change. Mm-hmm. The climate that we have now, beautiful weather, bad weather, I mean, this is normal. We get it all the time. But the climate change of the banking system, the climate change of the economy, I would like to say it a little more accurate, but I think I'm passing on the message about climate change. That's the climate we have to change.
Mm, beautifully put. I mentioned earlier on, my reading, libertarianism, liberalism, and Marxism. man only as an economic unit. And the fact is, man is nothing only an economic unit. He is so much more. He is a spiritual being. And there is purpose and design in creation as an opportunity to find expression. And it's not as a, just as an economic unit. There is so much more. So much more. Atheistic communism versus Douglas Social Credit or Christianity. Thank you so much, Eve Potbay from Canada.
Thank you, Ernest.
No worries, my pleasure. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.